Welcome to Willow Creek Fellowship in Plano, Texas. Here now is our senior pastor, Roy Frady.
When I started out, I spent a lot of my time as a professional actor. I played whatever part I was given. I stood upon the stage where I was told to stay. Matter of fact, on one occasion, one of the most famous directors in the English-speaking world was directing a production I was in, and his name was Sir John Fernall. He was the only man that had ever directed over 300 productions in the West End of London. He was the only man, the Russians said, could properly direct Chekhov in the English-speaking world. He'd been the director of the Royal Academy of Dramatic Art in London. He had trained Albert Finney and Susanna Yark and Peter O'Toole and Tom Courtenay and Anthony Hopkins and me. And once when he was telling us where to stand on the stage, he said, "Roy, I want you to stand 18 inches to the left." And I said, "What's my motivation for getting over there?" He said, "Your paycheck." After rehearsals would come opening night, I was standing on the efforts of the writer and the director and the publicist and so many other people. But I alone was there to get the standing ovation at the end of the night. And on occasion, very few occasions in my career, I have heard on opening night of a world premiere or something, someone would yell out to the author to take a bow, or the director to take a bow, but those have been very, 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 very rare. But in all the years that I tread the stage, I never heard anyone ask for the man who operated the follow spot to take a bow. But you see, he allowed the audience to see. If it hadn't been for him, in a dark auditorium, no one would have ever seen my efforts or anyone else's. And even when the house lights were up, he would follow me if I was playing the lead with a spotlight so that I would shine just a little bit more than everybody else who was on the stage. That is the role of the Holy Spirit, to draw our attention to Jesus, to give him a bright light in the darkness of our sins. Let us go before him in prayer. Dear Holy Heavenly Father, come before you this morning begging you that you would hear our hearts cry to you today. For you are holy. You are the one who comes to give us everything that we have. You are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And Father, as we come before you this morning, we ask that you would be glorified, that you would be exalted. O Lord, my God, be exalted today. And let us know that you are here. Father, so often we come and we are distracted by many other things. Father, let that not be so today. May we see clearly because your Holy Spirit is showing us who Jesus truly is. Father, my words are inadequate in any way to describe the love that you have for us. So, Father, we ask that your Spirit would speak to each of our hearts, casting my words outside their remembrance, never to be remembered again, but that your words, the words of life and death, should penetrate us and we should receive them, knowing that we leave this place filled with your presence. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you'll open your Bibles to John 16, I'm going to be switching back and forth here a little bit, but I only have one verse in chapter 16 to read, and that's verse 8. I'll read 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I go away, the Helper will come to you. If I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they do not believe in me. And then in chapter 15 of John, the 26th verse, it says this, But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And then John 14, 16 and 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. First, let us see that God sends his Spirit to disturb the peace. You know, too often we think of the Holy Spirit as some meek and mild person who comes only to comfort and to wrap you in his arms, to do just lovely things. And that is a total misreading of what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes instead to shake things up, to break up your stony heart, to get inside you and trouble you until you receive what he wants you to know. He wants to shake you up, and he wants to move you by his power. You know, I heard a story about a man who won the lottery or some such thing. He had more money than he had sense, and he decided to go down and buy himself the best refrigerator he could find. So he went to Sears, and he went to JCPenney's, and they didn't have anything he really wanted. And so he went to this very upper crust store that had the latest of technology, and he saw this one refrigerator that had every bell and whistle you can imagine. I mean, I thought I was big when we got a water dispenser on ours. But he had everything on his. This thing would do just about anything. He paid $10,000 for it. With stainless steel. It was shiny. And the people said, oh, we'll deliver it today. And so, knowing they would deliver it, he went out and bought a whole bunch of groceries to put into that brand new refrigerator. And he put all those groceries in the brand new refrigerator after they had installed it, and he went to bed. He woke up the next morning, and the refrigerator had absolutely not turned on for some reason, and all the food was spoiled. All the food. And so he was mad as a wet hen. And he grabbed the telephone, and he called to complain. You know, it's a terrible thing when you don't have someone to complain to. And he wanted to complain, and so he called the store where he had spent $10,000 on a refrigerator, and he said to them, my refrigerator doesn't work. I spent $10,000 for it. And the guy said, well, just a minute. I'm so sorry. I apologize. And well, of course, we'll do something about your groceries and reimburse you for that, and we'll do something, but just a minute. And he put him on hold, and certainly he came finally to the person who was a technical guy. And the guy said, well, did you push this button? He said, yes, I pushed that button. And did you push this button? Yes, I pushed that button. He said, well, get down on your hands and knees and see if you can hear the hum that the motor makes. He said, it doesn't make a hum. It's a $10,000 machine. It doesn't make a hum. He says, please get down on your knees and see if you can hear it. He gets down on his knees to hear the machine, and he hears nothing. He said, I told you, it's a $10,000 refrigerator. It makes no noise at all. And so he said, well, can you look behind the refrigerator? And he said, yes. He said, is it plugged in? He looked and he said, no, it's not plugged in. It's a $10,000 machine. It doesn't need to be plugged in. That's how we treat the Holy Spirit of God. He is plugged in to the power of the Godhead. All the power that there is. He is like the Father who is all-powerful. He is like the Son who is all-powerful. He too is all-powerful. You just have to plug Him in. People are afraid to plug Him in. They're afraid they'll get shocked. They're afraid they'll get too cold. They're afraid they'll get too hot. They're afraid of the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is powerful. He breaks into our lives. He's like a home invader. You never know how defenseless you are until someone breaks into your house. And then you realize your defenses were not sufficient. When he breaks in and suddenly you're confronted with something you didn't really want. You didn't really want that bright light shining in your eyes. You didn't want to be awakened in the middle of the night and someone shouting, fire, fire. You grumbling the whole time you're getting out of the house. Why are they doing this? Why are they doing this? You turn and you watch your house burn down. You're very thankful you were out of that house. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He shines a light into our darkness. He disturbs our peace, the peace of this world. He shakes us up. He yells sometimes into our ears so that we will know that there is something we can't do for ourselves. Yes, brothers and sisters, there is something you can never do. You can never do good works enough to earn salvation. Nothing you ever do. Not all the things you've ever done is enough to earn you the right to have eternity with God. Only what Jesus did. You don't know. But we are told by the Holy Spirit of God. That's the reason unless He calls us, we can't even come. He tells us that we have a need in our life. He exposes that need in our life. And He'll break into a stony heart in order to do it. He will break into your life, show you the grace and mercy that you have as a gift. Because it was earned by Jesus on the cross. Jesus is the one who the Holy Spirit points to. I heard someone say, that when urged to let go and let God, I will, but He needs my help. No, He doesn't. When you are truly convicted of your sins, the Holy Spirit of God realizes in you something you've never understood. That there's no response that you can make except to raise the white flag of surrender. That is all you can truly do. There is a huge gulf between what God calls us to do and what we actually do. Let's admit that now. In my own life, in your life, in everyone's life, there is a huge gulf between Christ calling you to be like Him and the life you lead in front of me and others. The life I live in front of you and others. When the Holy Spirit illustrates our lives, we can clearly see that we're incapable of doing anything that pleases God. That gives us a right relationship with God. Without the grace and mercy offered by faith in Jesus Christ our Lord, we are lost. The Holy Spirit's job is to reveal that to us, to let us know how lonely and desperate our situation is without Christ. You know, if you were out on a ocean and you were drowning on the ocean, someone throws you a life raft and you climb upon it, but you're still bobbing around in the ocean. until that spotlight comes on you and the darkness and the waves, you don't know that anyone is even aware of your plight. The Holy Spirit is aware of everyone's plight because the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He is God. He's not your friend. He's not your helper. He's your God. He knows who you are. And He comes looking for you. And when the Holy Spirit reveals to us what is in the real good news of the gospel, sometimes we see it. Sometimes we don't. That there is never a comfortable kind of feeling when you find out that you are a sinner. You don't feel super confident. And all the wonderful feel-good messages you've ever heard, all the motivational speeches that you've ever been given, just kind of fall flat when you walk out the door and face reality. There's a commercial on television where Pinocchio is trying to give a motivational speech. Perhaps you've seen it. And he says, "And you, and you, and you, I see a lot of potential in you," and his nose grows about that long. It's because we know who we are, because the Holy Spirit has revealed to us who we are. And we collapse. The second thing that we find in the Scriptures here is in chapter 15, verse 26. Let me read that to you again. "But when the Helper comes, which I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me." That is the work of the Holy Spirit, to let us see Jesus. Holy Spirit opens our minds and our understanding so that we see clearly. You know, before you became a Christian, before you became a believer in Christ, you traveled this world, you breathed, you ate, you exercised, perhaps you were on a winning football team or basketball team. You did all kinds of things that you had done in the world. But then one day you came to Christ. You came because the Holy Spirit revealed to you your sickness, your sadness, humbled you, if you will, so that you knew you need something beyond the football game, you needed something beyond the coach you had in basketball. You needed something else, and He showed you who it was. And it was Jesus. And at that moment, you came to understand something that the Holy Spirit alone can show you. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are equal. There is, as I said last week, there is no ranking of their position or power by Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. They're all equal, or one. They are one God in three persons. But for the Father's love, He would not have sent the Son. What does the Bible tell us? In John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He sent His Son." His Son did not become His Son when He was sent. He was already His Son, but He sent His Son to us, to be God with us, Emmanuel, to die for us. If it hadn't been for the love of the Son for you, He would never have endured the cross for you. If it wasn't the love of the Holy Spirit, do you think He wouldn't have stopped, wouldn't He? Wouldn't it, you have stopped? Wouldn't you have been discouraged when people closed their hearts to you? But He continuously tries to give away the gift of love that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. They are equal. They are always equal. Father gives the Son. The Son gives the gift of His life. The Holy Spirit gives us that gift. The Holy Spirit has a beautiful ministry. Think about it. He gets to show me my need for a Savior and then show me who the Savior is. What a wonderful ministry. And that's the ministry He's planted within each of us. Everybody has that ministry. To speak in a language they understand. in the language of love, who God is and how God loves you. That is our mission, and that is what the Holy Spirit comes to do. Too often, our quest to make God in our own image results in terrible tragedies because we want to make God just as we want Him to be. We're seduced by fake and false spirits that lead us away from Jesus. In an 8, false light shines on Eastern religions. A false light shines on spiritualism. A false light falls on an effeminate deity that doesn't care if you sin, that allows sin, that won't even define sin, that allows you to continue to live the God life you want to live. We are often deceived. We're deceived because the gods of this world seem to allow us to be on the throne of our own lives. They seem to allow any kind of sin. In fact, they want to redefine sin as our lifestyle. You've probably heard this. It's not a sin, it's just a lifestyle choice. Where in the Bible does God say that? Please show me. Please show me. Teaching us there are no consequences. We can do whatever we want as long as it feels good and doesn't hurt somebody else. Those false gods remind us of the father of lies, who tells us there are no consequences to your sin. Surely you will not die. God's not going to kill you. Go ahead and sin. Have some. Go for the gusto. Do whatever you need to do. Sin is pleasurable for a season. Haven't you heard that? It's good. The lesson that we take away is the consequences we endorse leads to the activity that men endure. Let me put it to you another way. If you're so tolerant of sin that you allow for sin to continue in someone's life, knowing that you might have some influence over them, that you might show them the truth, but you back away and you say, oh, well, no, that's their religion, that's their God, that's their this, that's their that. So I'm politically correct. Can't we all just get along? If you take that position, you're allowing them their unforeseen circumstances. God spells it out clearly. Those who are unrighteous are going to hell. The Holy Spirit teaches us that. Spiritualism has been a catch-all for everybody looking for another way. Over the centuries, it's allowed us to talk to the dead. The Bible's against it, but spiritualism is a catch-all. I'm very spiritual. You ask people today if they're religious. No, but I'm very spiritual. That spirit leads them away from Christ, leads them away from the narrow way to the broad way. It doesn't say that they're going to follow after Christ, but they're going to follow after anything that feels good. Spiritualism leads us to look for power in crystals and in pyramids instead of in God. It tells us to look for meaning of life in a That's a meaningless sound. A meaningless sound. When I was in Hollywood, everybody had a mantra. Whatever their mantra was. It's just a way of talking to a false God. The God of the universe knows what's on your heart because the Holy Spirit tells it. You can't hide anything from Him. And here's a test that never fails. If the Spirit you're filled with leads you away from humility and into a sense of self-aggrandizement, Hey, look at me, I'm filled with the Spirit. That's a false spirit. If the Spirit that you're filled with doesn't lead you to humble yourself before Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who is going to rule and reign in this earth and in your life, if he leads you away from that, it's a false spirit. Even in some of our churches, there is a false spirit. A spirit that allows people to think, oh, I can do anything I want to the rest of the week as long as I'm there on Sunday. Or as Flip Wilson's character used to say, the devil made me do it. Greater is he who is in you than he who's in this world. The Holy Spirit of God points to Jesus as the one who is your mentor, is your example. You're to become like him. And in every way you're not like him, you're like someone else. Jesus says that we're not like our Father God, we're like our father, the devil. The devil was the father of lies, and so are we. So who is the real Holy Spirit? Look at John 14, verses 16 and 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you will know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Holy Spirit of God. You know, he's not just another spirit. You know, there's a place where Jesus says, I'll send you another comforter. He's not just another, as we use the word. If I say to you, my car's broke down, I'm going to go get another. That can mean I'm going to go get a Cadillac or a Mercedes or a Chrysler or a Pinto or whatever it means. Or I could say to you, if my car breaks down, I'm going to go get another one, meaning I'm going to get one like the one I just had break down. But in the Greek, in the original language, this word is given no kind of fuzzy-wuzzy definition. It means exactly the same. I'm going to send myself to you. You're going to be filled with the Father. You're going to be filled with the Son. You're going to be filled with His Spirit. You're not going to be filled with just the Father or just the Son or just the Spirit. You're going to be filled with all three. Because Jesus said, my Father and I will come in and sup with you. Once that penetration has been made by the Holy Spirit of God and you have recognized Jesus as your Savior, He comes into you. The Father comes into you. You have the whole Godhead in you. You have then a power you have never had before. Because the Holy Spirit is a penetrating power. He comes within you. He comes within your mind to change your mind into the mind of Christ, to transform you. It is a power that you ask to come into you, knowing that you may lose the very thing that you think makes you independent. You're going to lose your independence because you're going to become dependent upon God. He penetrates your heart, your stony heart, that heart that can look at someone dying and say, oh, that doesn't make any difference to me. It bothered me this last couple of weeks when we have seen beheadings of people. That's a terrible thing to see. But how many people die every single day? How many Christians died the same way by the same people in countries around the world, and we paid no attention? We paid some attention to these people because it became personal. When the Holy Spirit comes into you, everything is personal. It's not just you. When you say amen, you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit penetrating into you and saying amen to what God is saying. That's what the amen is. It is coming out of you because He has to be in you before it can come out. Amen? Amen. Holy Spirit of God. Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus says that the Holy Spirit is going to give illustrations by working within you to show you what you cannot understand. I read in Christianity Today this last week an article that was called Why Illustrations Don't Work, and they have three authors. And two of the authors just said, never use an illustration. And I found that kind of odd, since virtually that's what the Bible is. And that's what Jesus does all the time. But there was one author who said, yes, you can use them in an appropriate manner. You use your life experience. Who you are becomes your testimony. You use your weaknesses and your strengths. You use everything that is within you, because if it's given to the Holy Spirit to use, He will use it in the right way. You only to trust Him with yourself. Sometimes we don't do that. We just don't do it. One thing is absolutely clear is you cannot know one person of the Trinity without knowing the whole Trinity. You can't know the Father by Himself. There are whole kinds of people who say to you, oh, well, I can appreciate Jesus as a teacher, but He's not my God. God the Father is my God. You can't do that, because it's only through the Son that you can know the Father. He said, I came to show you the Father. Oh, well, I can have the Father and the Son. I don't need the Spirit. That's not true. Because it's the Spirit that shines the spotlight on who Christ is and on your need for Him. You can't have one without the other. They are completely Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all and equally God. The Holy Spirit opens your eyes. You can truly see who Jesus is. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The third description of the Holy Spirit is that He will dwell in you. He's so much more than just a mentor. He's much more than that. You need more than someone like me or someone else telling you what to do. Does that work for you? I noticed that there are people that have selective hearing. I got that from someone I won't name this last week. Said, oh, I've stopped doing this because you said to me to sit down and shut up. I said, okay, do you do everything else I say? No. We have selective hearing. So we need more than a mentor. We need someone who can give us the power. We need the Holy Spirit of God so that we have the power to do what God calls us to do. And we need more information. We need more than that. We need power. And the Holy Spirit is able to touch the deep places in your soul. Time magazine told a story some years ago about a fellow. And by the way, here I am. This is an illustration. Told about this fellow that went to a psychiatrist. This is Time magazine, so it's bound to be true. And the guy went to the psychiatrist and he said, I have a real problem because I hear radio everywhere I go. And the psychiatrist wanted to kind of pacify the man, so he said, well, what are you hearing right now? He said, I'm hearing ABC News. I hear it all the time. It really bothers me. I don't even agree with everything they say. It just bothers me. And the doctor decided maybe there was something else wrong besides a psychological problem. So he started to find out, asked the man questions, where did you work? He worked in a glass factory. Found out that some of the little silicon pieces had gotten into his teeth, into his various cavities. And because of the cavities and the saliva and the crystals that were there and the metal that was there in his mouth, the bridge work, he had become a walking crystal radio receiver. And so the psychiatrist referred him to a dentist. And the dentist filled his teeth and got rid of the crystals and fixed his gums up and fixed his bridge work and took the man off the air. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we hear a new heavenly frequency that fills us, the Bible says, with spiritual songs and hymns, giving praise from our heart to who God is. That's part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to humble us. It comes to show us who Jesus is when we really know we need Him. He comes to penetrate and live within us so that we know that God is never far from us, that He's here with us in good times and in bad. Jesus said, "Weep with those who weep." He is there to give you comfort when you're going through sorrow and heartbreak and grief. He is there to rejoice with you when there's something to be celebrated in God's name. He is there. As the choir sang this morning, the benefits of His love. He's always with us because it is the Holy Spirit's position as a part of the Godhead for your salvation to bring you the gift that Jesus gave on the cross for you. You know, I was telling someone earlier that it doesn't matter, in a way, how you feel. I was listening to a television report on Robin Williams, who died, as you probably know, about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago. And Robin Williams was on this broadcast, and he was talking about his training at Juilliard, which was, as an actor, a classical kind of training. And one of his teachers, he didn't say which one, but I've heard this myself from my own teachers, he said about method acting, he said, this is kind of rude, so you put your fingers in your ears if you can't stand it. He said, if you pee on yourself with brown corduroys, it may feel good to you, but nobody else knows it. He said, that's what it's like sometimes when people hold in what God is doing through them. You see, if you're not willing to share with others, if you're not willing to give and be a conduit of what God gives to you, then as some of the prophets who are weeping, like Jeremiah, would come and tell everybody what's going to happen because of the consequences of their sin, and everybody turned a deaf ear to it. And when they turned a deaf ear to what the Holy Spirit had given Jeremiah to tell them, they had to face the consequences. Jeremiah weeped and weeped and weeped. He had one convert, maybe, in his entire ministry. Everyone turned a deaf ear. Don't turn a deaf ear to the Holy Spirit. If He wants to break into your life, open the door. Let Him break in. Let Him fill you to overflowing. If He wants to make you jump a pew, jump a pew. We don't even have pews. Jump a chair. If He wants you to waddle like a duck, waddle like a duck. Wants you to speak in a tongue that you don't understand, speak in it. Wants you to hold up your hands, hold up your hands. Do whatever the Holy Spirit wants you to do. But this I'll tell you for sure. The Holy Spirit wants you to point others to Jesus. May not choose you to jump over a chair or to raise your hands or do anything. But He has chosen you to speak about Jesus using your own heart and your own life to do so. That is what I pray for you to do today. I pray that you will open your hearts and receive the total Godhead into your life. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. that they will come into your heart. We sing, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart, Father. Come into my heart, Holy Spirit. Fill me and allow me to be a conduit of what you would have me say and do for others.
We pray the Holy Spirit has enlightened you today. Pastor Frady's sermons are on the internet at willowcreekfellowship.org. Join us live in person each Sunday at 1804 Avenue P at 19th Street in Plano, Texas. Or join us live on the internet each Sunday at 1105 a.m. Central Time at willowcreekfellowship.org. God bless you.